This is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. State Attorney General Ken Paxton asked two school districts in North Texas to pass restroom policies at odds with federal guidelines. The Texas Tribune reports Paxton's office approached the Herald and Wichita Falls school districts about adopting a policy for transgender students he could use as an example in a lawsuit against the federal government. That policy would require students to use restrooms according to the gender cited on their birth certificates. The Wichita Falls School Board decided not to adopt it, but Herald trustees did. Paxton talked about the suit Wednesday.
We're taking this action to protect Herald Independent School District, which on Monday night fulfilled a responsibility to their community by adopting a bathroom policy that puts the safety of their students first.
Paxton also said the small school district would be hard hit if the Obama administration revoked federal money for not complying with its transgender guidelines. A Paxton spokesperson did not provide a number on how many districts the attorney general approached. The family of Antoinette Brown is asking the city of Dallas for $5 million due to animal control's, quote, negligent administration and policies. Brown died earlier this month after she was mauled by a pack of stray dogs. Neighbors say they often complain to animal control about the dogs, but nothing was done. Mayor Mike Rawlings promised an overhaul of city policies on handling aggressive dogs. Earlier this week, private donors hired a consulting group to look into the city's stray dog problem. There have been 36 cases of the Zika virus in Texas. The state health department is preparing for a large-scale outbreak, and county health departments are warning residents to protect themselves against mosquitoes. Those warnings can be ignored, and that concerns Dr. Don Reed. Almost a decade ago, the Dallas surgeon nearly died from the West Nile virus. The Texas Medical Association recently picked Reed to be its next president. He talked to KERA's Rick Holter in our Friday conversation.
Dr. Reed, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thank you for having me.
You spent weeks in the ICU, months paralyzed in a wheelchair, and years recovering. You still have to wear leg braces. How did that experience change you as a doctor?
Well, it gave me great empathy for my patients, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it taught me an important lesson that no matter how bad things are, they could always be worse. So here I was in Baylor Institute for Rehabilitation, in a wheelchair, trying to learn how to walk, trying to learn how to talk, trying to learn how to write. And yet here are these teenage kids that are quadriplegic in a motorized wheelchair.
What was the toughest thing about recovery?
Physical therapy. Mm-hmm. I had terrible pain in my legs in the acute phase. It required strong narcotics, not Demerol, not morphine, but Dilaudid to control mm-hmm. the pain. And as I got to the point that they could finally get me out of bed, the pain was just excruciating. And then you'd go to physical therapy and try to walk. And I was very glad during that time that I'd played football growing up, because there was one time I grew up here in Dallas and mm-hmm. I was on the Highland Park High School B team, as it was, sophomore team back then. And we played Waco in a game and we lost. And the coaches thought we lost because we were out of shape. So come Monday afternoon, they ran us up and down the mm-hmm. field and back and forth and up and down. And I was sure they were just waiting for somebody to pass out and have to call an ambulance before they'd stop.
Right.
The next week we did the same thing, and it was amazing. It was a lot easier to do. In physical therapy, that's what I thought about. You know, it feels like it's going to kill you, but you just have to keep your head down and go one step at a time and keep going.
You started what might have been the first West Nile support group. What lessons did you learn out of that?
Well, I started it because when I was in the rehab hospital, we had our family conference, and you know, all the therapists and the doctors are there, and my wife says, do you have one of the previous patients with West Nile I could talk to about it? Mm-hmm. There was dead silence. Nobody said a thing and went on to the next thing, which meant, as we found out, that my doctor's previous two patients didn't get well and went to a nursing home. So we couldn't find out much about it. There wasn't much in the medical literature about it. And so I was on TV, and people saw me on TV, and four people called me up and said, I had West Nile, you know, can we talk? So we got together and talked and decided that a support group would be a useful thing to have.
I wonder, with the rise of Zika in the last few months, do you relive it all over again?
you know, reliving it is not painful for me because I survived. But I see the same somewhat lack of concern about how it's going to affect everybody. Mm-hmm. It seems to be portrayed in the media that, oh, the mosquito is going to bring it to us. Well, it's you and me that are going to the Caribbean and getting it and coming home.
Right.
Then the mosquito bites me and then bites you, gives it to you.
So we're bringing it to the
so
mosquitoes.
So we're the host.
Right.
With West Nile, the birds are the host. They bring it in. The mosquito bites the birds and then bites us. But Zika, it's here in you and me, and the mosquitoes just transfer from one person to another.
We're more than a decade into this West Nile fight. The warnings are kind of mantras by now, you know, clean out the water, look out for that pool, wear DEET and protective clothing whenever you go outside. Do you worry that we may as a society be suffering from West Nile fatigue?
Well, I think that's a good point, and we may. Most people aren't going to pay attention if they don't know somebody that's had it or they haven't seen somebody on TV or listened to them on the radio with what they really went through. Like everything else, most people think they're 17 and bulletproof and it can't happen to them. Mm-hmm. With more exposure to what it really does to people, I think that people will pay more attention.
Dr. Don Reed, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
Some travel notes. Dallas Love Field is reporting many delays this morning. They're advising travelers to give themselves 3 hours to get to their gate this holiday weekend. On the road, I-30 westbound has reopened near Ferguson Road in Dallas after a FedEx truck crashed and spilled fuel on the road. And on I-20 westbound, the two right lanes are blocked on St. Augustine Drive due to a jackknife tractor trailer. There's a good chance of rain lasting through mid-morning, maybe till noon. Expect a high of 82, 30% chance of more rain tonight, 20% chance of more tomorrow. It's 67 in Dallas, 67 in Fort Worth.